You're listening to the Power Gold Podcast, bringing you the latest tips, tricks, and strategies for making gold in World of Warcraft. I'm your host, Jim Youngkin, and now, on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Power Gold Podcast, episode number 27. It is Monday, the 30th of January, 2012. I'm your host, Jim Youngkin, along with our co-host, Fade.
Hello.
And we are just going to go ahead and jump right into it. Monday, then after Monday is Tuesday. Tuesday's my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday. I did not know that. Well, I got you a Bethesda coupon.
Yes, you did. if in the future you see me disappear from the World of Warcraft landscape into the Skyrim landscape, you know who to blame. Blame Fade. So, yeah, I don't want to start off the podcast by talking about Skyrim, but I've heard it's a pretty cool game. That's like anybody ever talked about when I was working at a game store this holiday season was like all the employees would just talk about Skyrim.
It's because it's good. I thought I wouldn't like it, but it ended up being quite the pleasing thing.
I talked you into it.
A lot of people did.
I talked you into retrying it because, yeah, at first you were just like, this sucks. So
yeah, but then I was like, I already paid for it. I better get my money's worth. And then I'm like, oh, this is pretty good.
All right. But we're going to be talking about gold making on the Power Word Gold podcast. Yes, yes, yes. But first off, I'm going to have ladies go first. Fade, why don't you give out your deets so that people can get a hold of you, watch you, read you, do all that good
stuff. Please don't watch me. That's so creepy. I just blanked. Sorry, I've been sick. I've been a little bit out of it.
She has a village worth of pizza in her.
That's true. Oh, I've been really sick and I'm on medication, so I'm a little bit out of it. But my blog is nerffades.blogspot.com, nerffades.blogspot.com. And then
see, now you got your own songs going on with you. Thanks.
Yep. And then my YouTube channel is youtube.com/fadetastic, FAIDTASTIC, which is also my Twitter.
Yes.
Yay.
Awesome. Awesome. And I'm Jim Youngkin from Power Word Gold. You can find us at powerwordgold.net, youtube.com. I don't ever do YouTube. Let me do a song. I'm Jim Youngkin from Power Word Gold. You can find us at powerwordgold.net on Twitter. We are at Power Word Gold and facebook.com/powerwordgold.
I'm gonna commission you to do one of those for me and I'll open all my YouTube videos.
I do some beatboxing. Let's talk about making gold. I'm going to just start off by talking about something that we talked about last podcast, which was a good podcast, but it was definitely the most scattered of all of the podcasts since it was recorded on three different days. You talked about what you would do if you got onto a new server and you really specified going to Blasted Lands with your Death Knight. So I was pretty fascinated with that. So I took what you did and I started doing it on all my servers. And actually, I followed your advice. I went and I got the server recipes from Desolus. I even helped the little punk out a few times, although I found out that if you help him on that quest, it's slower than just not helping him. So.
Well, the interesting thing about that, this is the caravan in Desolus, for those who unfortunately missed the previous episode. But there's a caravan in Desolus led, I think, by Cork Gizzleton. Mm-hmm. But basically, if no player is in range of it, it goes really slow. Or at least this was what it was like before Cataclysm. So you need to find him and then, like, literally walk with him. You can't just wait at the southernmost point or else, like, he never gets there. Like, if you actually follow him, it only takes, like, 20 minutes or so to do a round. But I would sit there for, like, an hour at the southernmost point and he'd never show up.
Yeah, I did walk with him, but I also picked up the quest and did like each one. He has two different escort quests you can do kind of in the middle. But two of those recipes, both of the lean ones, I think it's lean wolf something and lean venison something, both sold for 500 gold. So that was cool. I haven't sold the big bear steak or whatever for 1,000 gold yet like you did. But I mean, that was on Lightbringer. On the Horde side, I started a Death Knight and pushed through. I love the Death Knight starting area. I don't know why. Pushed through, and I have my Death Knight on the Horde side there. So that was great advice. But I've been on every server I have a character on. I've just been going, logging in, going to the Blasted Lands, and going around and finding these rare spawns. It's so much fun. So much fun. So there's a macro that you built that you gave me. And then there was a article that I did today. I didn't do, well, there was a guest post that we did on Powered Gold today about how to farm instances for mogging items. And that one also had information about Blasted Lands and includes a map and includes the macro. So if you want to get the macro that you can use to farm for these rare spawns in Blasted Lands. But I was actually thinking about it today, like what I love so much about these. And I think it's the like lottery nature, the like random nature of it. Well, I was wondering why I liked doing these rare spawns so much. Granted, because you talked about it on the podcast quite a while ago, and that was before transmogrification, as like a possible way to get some XP.
Large brilliant shards was actually probably what I was going for, and just that level of enchanting mats.
Yeah, large brilliant shards. And with transmog, a lot of the items, you'll get some pretty nice hits on chest pieces and legs and other things that sell pretty well. We're going to talk about transmogrification quite a bit later, but I just love am I gonna find a rare spawn? Am I gonna find a rare spawn? Like, today I found my last rare spawn that I hadn't found yet, which was Alyssa. No,
Cassia.
So I think she's the one. Was the last one I was looking for. Me and you found the guy next to the cauldron. Mm-hmm. Well, I found him.
Yeah, but we were talking at the time, so it was a group effort. So I get credit for that too. Where's my loot?
Where's your what?
Where's my loot?
Oh,
I get some of it.
Karma points, please.
Yes.
So I just, for those of you out there who I mean, the thing is, like, it can be done on any character, especially in any character that's like level 60. I mean, you can do it on a 58 Death Knight riding around on your mount, but once you get flying mounts, like, and I've been noticing different servers have different densities of like kills, because sometimes I'll get like four, like one time I got like four or five of them, actually maybe even more than that, that were up, and then like other times it's like nothing. But I've been going on my miners and on my herbalists too, so I've been doing mining thorium and doing herbs, and those have been selling pretty well. Grom's blood is very underserved on my auction house. And I can sell those a lot of times for like 15 or 16 gold a piece. They spawn right around the outside of like the portal, like right where the dark portal is. And then thorium, I checked Undermine Journal. If you go to Undermine Journal, log into your server, go to enhancements, jewel crafting, scroll down at the bottom, has the disenchanting. Now I got all these words mixed up in my head. Prospecting tables that show you like the price of the ore and the price of the ore prospected. So I've been prospecting the thorium that I'm getting while I take my miners around, and that's been doing well because it's been selling. Some of those gems sell for a lot of, and actually even I was surprised at how much the early Burning Crusade, yeah, early Burning Crusade gems are selling for, because there's that gap where you can level up jewel crafting by just cutting a bunch of those uncommon Burning Crusade gems. They're selling for a lot more than the ore. So
after you cut them?
No.
Okay.
Taking Feliron ore, prospecting it, and selling the raw uncommons. Because people like me that were doing jewel crafting will buy them up and cut them to get through that phase of jewel crafting.
Definitely. I've been there a few times. And of course, the golden drainite for the carpets always sells well.
Yes, yeah.
If you want to get in on these BC gems but don't have a jewel crafter, go get your membership benefits from the consortium in Negrand. You get a free gem bag every month. Yay.
Yay.
Everyone forgets to go out and get that, and yet I go out because I'm weird.
No, that I need to like I need to make like a Google calendar with like all these things to do. It's the 15th. Time to go get your cons. That would be pretty awesome. That
Yeah, and like you can mark off the first week as the Darkmoon Fair and have little
Yeah.
tips about what to do during the Darkmoon Fair. That's awesome. Let's do that.
Let's do that. Let's make and we'll charge like $3 a month. $3 a month for it. Actually, speaking of charging money, but let's do that idea. I like that idea.
Yeah, we'll talk about it more later.
All right. So I finally got my butt in gear and put together, drum roll, blah, 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 blah. Sorry, Christmas vacation comes to mind whenever someone does a drum roll. Sorry, I love that movie. I put together the Powered Gold Guide in ebook format. Oh,
Ooh.
100 pages. It's 100 pages long, illustrated 100 pages. That's pretty crazy. So the Powered Gold Guide is, I don't want to call it beta, but it's like in its first stages. It is going to be going on sale soon. Might
Is that soon or Blizzard soon?
TM. Soon as in possibly today or tomorrow, like Monday. Oh, I should do it today. Today's Monday. But that's going to be going on sale. When it is on sale, you'll see banners on Powered Gold for it. It's the same content that's available for free, so everybody should know that. But there's going to be differences between the guide that's free and the guide that is available for ebook format as time goes on. So right now they're pretty much the same, but you get some stuff in the free guide, like videos and some auto-generated links to current stuff. And that's kind of there, but then the ebook format guide will be updated more as time goes on, whereas the free guide will probably not be updated anymore. Or maybe some, if there's some maybe additions to chapters or something. So, anyways, it's gonna be going on sale, and I'm gonna be doing the sale of the ebook slightly different than maybe you've ever seen before. So I wanted to take a few minutes to talk about it so that people can understand how it works. So if you don't mind, Fade, I'm
Oh,
sorry.
that's fine.
Because we've been talking about this on the podcast actually for a while. I need to do a clip where like all I do is record me saying, "We've talked about this on the podcast before," like one of those. But so it's two-step process for buying the guide. For step one, you download the guide in whatever format you want. There's PDF format, there is EPUB format, which works in iTunes or iBooks on the iPad and on the iPhone, which is freaking awesome. I love it so much. Because then you can adjust the size and you can read it like an iBook and all this good stuff. There's a Word document format. There is a ODT, Open Office document format. And there is a text, which does not include any of the images format. So step one is you download it in the format that you want, or formats if you have, say, multiple e-readers, or you want to, have the PDF too. Step two is you pay for it. So you download it and then you pay for it. The pay part of it is not in any way connected to the downloading part of it. It's not like you pay pay and then we send you a download link, or you pay and then it unlocks a PDF, like all this crap. Like I looked through all these different things, like how to do ebooks, and really they're all really terrible. Like I'm serious, like I'm not going to name any names for ebook services out there, but a lot of them are just terrible. So I'm leaving it up to the customer to pay for it if you download it. Now, the last thing I want to talk about is the pricing. Taking notes from most specifically, well, taking notes from things like the Humble Indie Bundle and also some music services, music purchase services like Bandcamp and others, I'm releasing the guide, the 100-page illustrated PDF, 100-page illustrated guide, ebook guide, as a pay what you want pricing. So there's 4 price points. You can pick whichever one you want and pay. The prices are $1, $3, $5, and $10. So that's it. So you download it, whatever format you want, and you pay $1, $3, $5, or $10. And that's it. There's a 30-day money-back guarantee on it. If you buy it and you, within 30 days, for whatever reason, just say this is the biggest piece of crap ever, I want my money back, that's not going to be a problem. If for some reason you want to try it for free, like as a free trial, I'm not like placing a restriction on how long after you download it that you pay for it. So without directly telling you, basically you can download it and then use it and then pay me when you want, that's kind of what I'm telling you. So if you're not sure that it's worth it, then download it and then pay me later. So I don't know. There's a whole FAQ that's going to be on there. There's going to be lots of things on there for you to read. But I have loved making gold making information for everybody, and now I wants to get paid. I gotta make them golds. So this is the first of a product. This is the first product that I'm. I mean, we have powered panties, which are available that nobody ever is going to buy. and t-shirts and sweatshirts and iPhone cases and all that, la, la, la. There's a lot of stuff in the, Cafe Press store. There's like usually, if you see it on the site, there's only like 4 things, but in the store, there's like something like 30 different things, including t-shirts and sweatshirts. And if you want swag, that's where you can get it. But, the other thing about this guide is that this is a great gift for giving people that you know who are just getting into gold making. The guide itself covers all the 3 basic add-ons, Trade Skill Master, Auctioneer, and Auctionator. It covers the Undermine Journal. It covers all the different professions, as well as a few other add-ons and bits and bobs. So if you want to give it as a gift, just download it and send it to the person and pay. So that's basically it. There's no fancy things. As the guide is updated, as the guide is going to be updated over time, you can always feel free to come back to the page and download the latest version if you paid for it for no additional cost ever. So you can always come down and download the latest version. So, all right, that is the Powered Gold Guide. And depending on how it goes, like as far as how the sales go and everything like that, there's a chance that I might be branching this off into something else that I'll get into more as time goes on. So,
fun stuff. Sorry, I wasn't yawning there at the end, I promise.
No. I want to hear you talk. So I've been talking, but it's a tough thing, Fade. We've talked about this over and over a lot of different times. Monetizing like a passion is could be really tough. So. Mm-hmm. Usually though, you gotta have something to buy. that's usually how it works. I mean, I've tried going the whole ad thing, AdSense route, and like, while I'm grateful for all the money I get in AdSense revenue, yeah, it's like, I need to get more damn golds. So, and if you have any questions about the guide, feel free to get a hold of me and let me know, at poweredgold@gmail.com. And, let's go ahead and see here. La, 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 la. I've been talking this whole time and I haven't given you a chance to talk very much, but, let's see.
It's all right. I'm sure my chair's been squeaking plenty.
No. It can't be as bad as Joaquin's chair in the... Well, you were actually on the show with me when Joaquin had his chair.
No, we've actually never been on a show together, I don't think.
So. For those of you who are wondering what happened to Joaquin, he just doesn't...
I killed him. I took his spot.
I don't know.
Can only be one co-host.
We keep in touch every once in a while. I think, yeah, I'm not going to say that thing I say on the podcast, but we keep in touch now and again, but he pops up every once in a while on Twitter. So let's see. All right. So Blasted Lands rares are good. I want to talk a little bit about transmogrification and about Keelhaul and all the crazy stuff that's been happening in the last week or two. Craziness. So Keelhaul got like featured on WoW Insider as the guy who gave 1,000,000 gold away. Got featured on PC Gamer. Got featured on Wired Australia, I think. And had like a couple big events on the different servers, like the giveaways that he's already done, but I was never at any of those, but I was at a few of these ones. Man, I'm like super jealous. I'm like super jealous of Keelhaul. Like really am. I've been like struggling with it. But the problem,
you're just like, be happy for him. It's okay. Just be happy.
Here's the thing. Like, I can't really like be mad at him because for one, he's like the awesomest guy. Like if you ever talk to him. And for two, like, man, like he's been busting his butt, like doing this stuff. You know, he hasn't just like taken something and not done anything with it and had all the success, but it does make me a little jealous that I don't, you know, I've been slaving away. Oh, I've been slaving away. Where's my keyboard? I've been slaving away for... Oh, speaking of slaving away, January 31st is coming up. That's my birthday. February 7th, I want to say. February 7th, I think, is... I'm going to take us back to memory lane here for just a second. Because let's go back into the archives. So it's like loading.
This has been such a disjointed train of thought that you've gone through, starting with like, where's Joaquin? And it's like, oh, let me talk about transmog. And it's like, oh, remember January 7th?
No, February 7th, because that was the first. 7th. That was remember the 10th of November. February 7th, which is almost a week from now, was the first post I ever made on Powered Gold.
Yay.
Oh my gosh. Let's see what the first post was. And then I'll go back to talking about how I'm jealous of Keelhaul. The green pigment dilemma. Dun, dun, dun. So as many of us scribes have noticed, Unlike Wrath of the Lich King, where it was often cheaper to simply buy one type of ink of the sea, and convert it to any other types. So this is all this is about. Oh my gosh, that's crazy. And then, on February 10th, Nev commented on my blog. That's awesome. I love Nev so much. I hope you're listening to this, Nev. We need to get you on the show again. But... what I was saying was the second one, the third one, No. Which one was it? No, it was the second one. Oh my gosh.
I'm confused.
No, Nev. Okay. No, I'm trying to find the first time I ever mentioned Fade. Okay, so on February 7th, actually I did two posts in one day. Holy crap.
Oh my god. Right.
This one talks about Murgle Snow. Oh, Murgle Snow. You were talking, didn't you talk about the Murgle Snow shuffle?
No, that was the sucker fish shuffle.
Oh, I was going to make so much gold. I bought like, I don't know how many hundreds of Murgle Snow. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to make so much gold because they're going to put in a recipe for this and people are going to like want to like, yeah, that didn't happen.
And then they put in fish fry or something.
But on February 9th, as reported by Nerf Fades tonight, the Whiptail respawn rate in Oldham seems borked.
Entirely. That was fun.
Luckily for herbalists, it's borked in a very good way. Even with 10 or so herbalists all working over the Whiptail along the rivers of Oldham, the respawns are near instant.
Yes. Dun, dun,
dun. Yeah, and then I like have like cool like screenshots of the Undermine Journal. But look at that. I'm just going to put the smackdown right now that post had a link straight to Nerf Fades.
Oh, yeah.
Straight to Nerf Fades. All you people out there that are bloggers, don't be disrespecting your sources. Even if it's vaguely related that you got the idea from somebody else, you need to give them some respect. Give them some link love. Oh, look, I commented on your post. Nice find. Yay. I'm cashing in on this while it lasts. I made a blog post about it.
I was probably like, who's this guy? Go away.
I made a blog. See, I'm cashing in on this while it lasts. I made a blog post, and then I linked the blog post using my super HTML ninja skills.
We were networking, yo. Mm-hmm. That was pretty awesome.
Post musing about the effect it might have on the markets, grabs popcorn, and fires up the Undermine Journal February 9th, 2011. Man, that's crazy. So anyways.
I was thinking about weird crap like that, because there were a lot of things that were weird at the very launch of Cataclysm, and I'm like, I wonder what kind of weird stuff is going to happen when Mists of Pandaria first comes out. So that'll be fun to go into speculation for once it gets a bit closer.
Yeah, I think that, you know, we were talking a little bit before the show. There's these, like, huge waves of things that happen in gold making. Like I said, I've been doing this since just last year, so just from when the Oldham Whiptail respawn rates were jacked. But yeah, there was that. There was epic gems that everybody was like, oh, epic gems! And I'm just going to say right now, you guys are all wrong. I told you that you guys were going to be wrong. I was always like, what is it called, bearish? I was always like so cautious about epic gems. Everybody was like, oh my gosh. And then there was the shuffle that we pushed through. Then there was actually not really much going on. Now Transmog is going to like, you know, keep pushing through and get more cataloged and more detailed. And there's going to be more ways to do it.
To be honest, we're all just trying to stave off the talk about Netherweave bags that we know is coming. Because everyone's going to reroll pandas, and then everyone's going to be like, make Netherweave bags! And we're going to be like, no, we're sick of making Netherweave bags.
But honestly, I always buy Netherweave bags. But the thing is, like, they're 9 gold!
They're 9 gold for 16 slots, you can't beat that.
Yeah, Netherweave bags are a very interesting topic that... I'm not even like joking about that. They're like the perfect intersection of like bag slots and cost to make it worth.
And they made it such a pain in the ass by giving it like a 15 second cast time per bag.
I know. I actually went to make like 10 the other day and I was like, oh my gosh.
Guess I'll go watch a movie.
So, yeah. So it's kind of these like phases and yeah, Pandaria, the mist, the mop, the pandas and Pokemon, Yeah, let's make a jump. Let's make a jump on it, babe. Let's talk about it right now.
Well, okay, let's do it.
all right, let's do it.
So
Okay, so
I don't know if anyone remembers this, but at the beginning of Cataclysm, they screwed up the disenchanting, and dust came from weapons, and essences came from armor. And all I can think of is, oh, if only I had bought all those weapons when they were cheap. So,
well, here's my speculation. You ready? Fist
yeah.
weapons and leather armor. That's where it's at. Fist weapons and leather. Actually, fist weapons, I don't think so. I think fist weapons are going to be crappy, but leather armor.
Fist weapons are always going to be crappy.
Yeah, but their monks are going to be like, hi-yah, hi-yah, I'm punching you with a fist weapon.
Netherweave bags, man. That's all I gotta say.
Leather. There's a whole nother leather class coming out. Watch. I'm going to take like 10 slots of a guild bank and I'm just going to fill them all with leather
Well, we can
items.
definitely start selling more enchant cloak stealth and stock up on essences of air for agility weapon enchants, that's for sure.
What else? So a tank. So they're basically druids because they're a leather wearing class that has a tank, a heal, and a DPS class. And they're fat pandas.
They're chubby
So,
pandas. Come
no,
on.
this is like so cereal. I'm like so cereal. Like, this is what I'm gonna do. Watch. I'm gonna go into the model viewer and I'm gonna pick a what do they call them? What's the big fat Tuskars? I'm gonna pick a Tuskar and I'm gonna like start putting outfits on him. You gotta figure out what's going on. Like what looks good? Like some stuff looks good
It's true.
on a female blood elf. Well, what looks good on a big huge fat panda?
It's like, don't mind me, I'm just playing him with my walrus dress-up doll.
I know, but
It's okay.
look at
It's
like I'm
research,
serious.
okay?
Okay, it's Asian themed. Right? So I want to start looking for Asian themed leather items. It's all going to be leather, you know? But actually, because there's going to be pandas, and pandas can be any class, I got to start looking for Asian themed class items like swords, like
Oh
katanas,
yeah, the ones that look like katanas and stuff,
like
that'd be cool.
the, especially the, what do you call it? Stick, like practice swords. Man, Death Knight pandas.
Pandas can't be Death Knights.
Good, because
Yeah, they
definitely
can't.
stupid. No.
Actually, I assume they could be warriors, otherwise they can't be any of the play classes, but I
Don't
bet they
even
can be
know.
warriors.
Oh, see, now you're going to have to make me go find out. I'm going to Google it. What class can.
Pandaren class. I'm on it. I'm on it.
No! My Google foo! My Google. I type. I'm terrible at typing. Damn, I was right. Someone said something about this. I don't. Oh. Stupid MMO champion. I just click on the. Here's my question. Oh, they took it away. I was gonna say, what do you ever click on the I'm feeling lucky link? And I just realized that Google, they took it away. Has to be one of the most useless features of any website. Who's actually gonna.
Okay, pandas can be hunter, mage, monk, priest, rogue, shaman, or warrior.
Okay, you have to slow down one more time. Okay, one more time. Hunter.
Hunter, mage,
Mage,
monk,
monk,
priest,
priest,
rogue,
rogue,
shaman, warrior.
warrior. Oh. So we got.
Anything that can make him look like a ninja will be so popular for panda rogues.
Wait, you said rogues? Oh my gosh! It's like an. It's there was a dwarf rogue that was in my guild a long time ago, and I always thought it looked so stupid. Sneaking around, he's so huge. Actually, what is it? Taurens or not Taurens? Orcs. I always thought they looked funny popping out of stealth because they're like, I'm sneaking around. You can't see me. I'm so huge. Hunters, mages. Okay. I see. There's some Asian stuff, some dresses. But what about? They haven't shown pictures of female monks yet. Now, are they gonna do like something stupid like they did with the worgen and make them like, oh, they're skinny.
Freakishly different,
They're
yeah.
skinny with a waist and boobs. That's so
I
stupid.
hope not. I hated female Worgen. At BlizzCon, the only difference was that the females had a bow in their hair. So I hope they do something to
A
change that.
photoshopped bear, monk, priest. So we got one, only one class that's plate wearers, right?
Yep,
Just
and that's
warriors.
warrior.
We have two male, and we have one They can't be druids then, so they got two male, two
play. Which is dumb. They should have been able to be druids. Makes more sense than them being rogues. It does.
I'm a sneaking up on you. I saw Kung Fu Panda. He was pretty nimble, for even though he was fat.
I just hate that, like, someone at BlizzCon actually asked a question, and they're like, why can't they be druids? And the devs were like, well, that doesn't make sense. A bear that turns into a bear, and it's like, you've already got a dog that turns into a cat since Worgen can be druids. What's the problem with this?
Well, you got cows that can turn into cats and birds, too, with the torrents. So, yeah, that's a stupid reason. So, priests, so we got two cloth, two leather, and two... Leather, man, it's all about leather. Because honestly, listen to this. I'm just going to say this right now. And I know we were joking at the beginning of this segment about it. But leather is so crappy right now. Nobody gives a crap about leather. It's so crappy. Like, rogues don't want it because nobody plays rogues. Plus,
I bet rogues
pick tier sets anyway because their tier sets look pretty awesome.
Don't more people play rogues now because they got a free legendary as long as they have 10,000 gold?
Only people that already played rogues. I don't think anyone picked one to level it to 85 just to get a legendary, but I could be wrong. And then druids. Like, druid has good tier sets also, and I don't know. Like, I just don't know. Yeah. So Keelhaul doesn't even do leather at all. But
he said earlier today that he was looking at it because someone sold something for like 6,000 gold. And I think I don't know if he was joking or not, but he's like, I should look at leather.
Well, he said, yeah. And for those of you who aren't on Twitter, like, you're so missing out on all the crazy stuff that goes on a daily basis in the gold community. Like,
Flux and I fight. We fight on Twitter.
Yes. Sad. No, but that's in private. That's direct messages. Nobody's supposed to know. Our public face has to be so happy.
So yeah, Twitter's awesome.
Yeah, you were giving me a hard time today. I used all caps.
No, you were giving me a hard time.
I used all caps. No, your reaction was
bad words.
Wait, what?
No, we were both swearing. It was kind of funny.
Oh no, that was the direct message. Shh.
Okay.
No,
okay.
The public stuff. I used all caps in public.
Oh.
And not only this last week did I use my one snarky comment on Twitter that I'm allowed every year, which was basically, this just in, you can make money off transmog. Dummies. I've been talking about that since like September of last year. That's right. Keelhaul's good about that. Speaking of going back to being jealous of Keelhaul, I really am jealous of Keelhaul, but... honestly, he's been representing, and in case you didn't notice, his cobwebs are off of Disenchanting Azeroth website. I'm so excited.
Yay.
So, hopefully, fingers crossed. But see, the thing is, like, he's got a baby. He's got a little baby, and he needs to be able to take care of the baby, so... he does his stuff when he can. So I was loving his video. He did a video about how he searches. And actually, I found out I didn't even have the remote auction house on my iPhone. I took it off of one of the cleansings I have, like these holy cleansings where I'll be like, I've got 250 apps on my iPhone. Maybe that's why I run slow, which isn't the reason. But then I'll be like, I'm down to like 45 apps. So, but yeah, he had a video out this week about it. And, so there's been a lot of people. Farley WoW has been cranking it out pretty hardcore and transmogging. A lot of other people on Twitter. But Keel, if you're listening to this, I am jealous of you, like, in a real way. But I know that you try to represent Powered Gold, and we go way back. So one love, all that good stuff. So. All right. I think that is going to wrap it up for the first segment.
There was so much content.
So much. But we didn't. We got more. So we're going to take a break here, And we will bring you more gold making awesomeness when we come back in just a second. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Power of Gold podcast, episode number 27. I didn't do it at the beginning, but we tied. We tied with call to auction. Shh. Don't tell them, because I don't want them to know, because I don't want them to make another podcast. So, I am your host, Jim Youngkin, and my guest host with us is Fade.
Hello.
And I'm just going to kind of roll along and talk a little bit about transmogrification. As transmogrification has gained, like, I don't want to call it, well, in our circle and in the WoW community, mainstream kind of, like, exposure, and there's more coming. PC Gamer had a little cameraman at the events that Keel Hall did, and they were taking pictures, and are going to, like, put them on the interwebs. And, you know, there's going to be this, you know, as it just gains more and more, you know, kind of, like, goes from, like, me and Keel Hall to, like, me and Keel Hall, slowly, like, slowly grows. There's a bit of what I would call healthy skepticism that has been expressed by many people. Outsiders kind of being exposed to this, saying, like, wow, this guy, like, made a million gold by just selling, like, old crappy green items. We see it pop up in trade chat where someone's like, today someone was like, oh my gosh, why is somebody selling this crappy green item for more than a 379 wrist, like, and then they name dropped you and said, oh, what's up with Kickstarter putting, like, every item at 650 gold, like, la 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 la. And a lot of the gold makers have kind of seen these conversations, have been exposed to these conversations. But honestly,
I've gotten more hate mail over transmog than in all of my glyph manipulation, all of my gym manipulation, and all of my age camping. It's the transmog that's finally pissed people off.
That's interesting. I've never actually gotten any hate mail, but maybe I just haven't done it on as big of a scale. But the funny thing is that, like, I found that there is somebody, like, now on my server that's starting to, like, compete with me on transmog, and their name is Expensive. I'm like, what? I'm like, don't say that. Don't do that. Don't make your name Expensive. That's like, that's like stupid. Like, you don't want
to. No, you name yourself Good Deal. Come on. Friend Price. Just name yourself Friend Price.
So, anyway, I wanted to kind of, like, bring in this skepticism and maybe show a different side of transmogrification. And so I wanted to talk to you, Fade, because you've been maybe seeing transmogrification in a slightly different way. What have you been kind of seeing of this? What are your thoughts on it? Maybe that aren't, like, all bandwagon, like, oh, this is great, it's gonna be the best thing ever.
Well, the thing is, it's not bad, flat out. Like, it's either good or great. It's never going to be a bad market or anything. But basically, my issue, if you could call it that, is there's been such a huge movement behind transmog, mostly because of Keel Hall, and, you know, and of course everyone's so amazed by his success. And as you mentioned, that got attention from places that the gold blogging community usually doesn't get attention, like PC Gamer and stuff. So it's big news. Except I feel like this is setting a lot of people up for failure or disappointment. Because while it will probably work on every server to a certain extent, I mean, the way that it seems to be being pitched is you can make a million gold on your server just through flipping transmog for a few months, and that's not going to work on every server. It's just not, unfortunately. Keelhaul tweeted today that someone said, it's not working on my server, and he came to the server. And it's not that the guy was doing something wrong, it's that the auction house was controlled by two other people on that person's server. There are a lot of variables that can keep transmog from being very profitable on your server. I mean, I play on a launch day, high pop RP server. So I should have like huge demand in transmog items, and I sell a few, but nothing that would get me a million gold within a few weeks or months. I think that a lot of people are seeing this as a gold mine that for most people it will not be. It's a great side market to be in, but I think a lot of people are seeing it as a get-rich-quick scheme that, not necessarily a scheme, because it is legit and it does make gold.
I wouldn't imagine why. But just because Keelhaul got rich quick. 45 days, 1 million. Okay. Oh, sorry. 1,250,000.
Yes. But it's like, so I'm not saying it's bad, and of course I think everyone should look into it, just as I think you should look into any possibly profitable market on your server. But I think a lot of people are, you know, getting so far, so much behind this this transmog thing that they don't realize that it's not necessarily a universally profitable market. Because there, while some people like mogging on every server, sure, certain servers are going to be more profitable than others. I believe, I could totally be wrong, he could have recently server transferred something, but I believe Keelhaul's main server is Proudmoor, which is one of the more populated servers. And it also has a very large population of people who like to look good. We'll just put it that way. So
you don't have to say it. You don't have to hide it. It's a huge gay community site or server.
And it's not just that, because I mean it's not like, oh yeah, gay people like to dress up. But they also, for those who don't know, they host the largest in-game pride event on that server every year. So which is an event where you go with your character. So people on the server have a reason to go and want to get outfits to look good, not just because they like to look good, but there's actually an event for them to wear it to. Unlike your average player who, they go to their raids and they log off. They go into arenas. That server, I imagine, has one of the highest demands for transmog items. So I'm not surprised that he made so much gold, but it's just, I just feel like it's creating unrealistic expectations for other players. You will make gold, more than likely, but I just feel like people are getting their hopes up.
Yeah. I can see, like, if I kind of look down the road, I think that there will be price points that will kind of, they might be different on server to server, but there will be price points, and I think the market will ultimately play out very similar to how the Twink market has kind of gone in the past. For those of you that don't know what a Twink is...
Twink is dead, thanks to Blizzard.
A Twink is or was. Is a character that is capped out at a certain level. It used to be that you had to basically... Because there was no XP in Battlegrounds, you had to basically just never do any more quests, and you would stay at the same level. But there's powerful items... low-level items that are the best for these different... There were brackets, like 19 bracket, 29 bracket. Cold has been talking a little bit about it. He's been goofing off with 14-level brackets and all this kind of stuff. But my point is that, and I've talked about this person before, there's a guy on my server who for like 6 years or 5 years has been buying up every single one of a certain item. Blue item that's good for twinking, and he's still there today. If I went and I looked on the auction house, he would probably be there with his blue items. He has like 10 whatever swords or whatever, and they're 250 gold, all of them, meaning he like buys every single one of them that ever comes up on the auction house randomly, and keeps the price at like a certain price, like all the time. I think over time, that's kind of how these items will be. They'll be, you know, we've already seen lists being built by Keelhaul putting them out. I'm going to be talking a little bit about some of that possibly later, or I might save it for another podcast. But It's going to be just a standard procedure that you search for these items, you buy them, and you put them up at this price. Whatever the price might vary from server to server, but you're just like you can't get a Skullflame shield for under 10 or 20,000 gold, maybe 5,000 gold nowadays. That's been that way forever. That'll be the way it is for certain items. So, yeah, for me, it's been, Transmog has been kind of what you said, Fade, where it's like a nice side thing to do. I've always said that I'm more interested in the learning experience of making gold and figuring things out. That's why kind of it's exciting, because there's a lot of variables that go into Transmog. There's like, what items are there? What do they look like? What prices should they sell for?
It's just new, yeah. You know? Because we had the Sarnite Shuffle, so of course no one's really excited about the Obsidian Shuffle. This is new.
Yeah, there's new add-ons, there's new techniques, and it's, you know, it's just really fun. One of the things you told me was that you kind of like worked some of your pricing a little differently for Transmog items. Do you want to talk a little bit about what that was and why?
I actually didn't do... Basically, when I first built the posting lists, I just went by Keelhaul's recommended prices. Just flat out. I'm like, I don't know enough about this. I'll just go by his suggestions. And some things did sell. But I actually, you know, I'd be talking to friends on my server, and they're like, oh, Fade, you've got this item up that I really want, but it's too expensive. And, you know, it'd just be a transmog item. And it's like, and those people, regardless of how much they wanted it, they wouldn't spend that much on it. And on the one hand, you might say, well, they aren't your target audience, someone with more gold is, which makes sense. I don't disagree with that. However, because of the low demand on my server, I felt that I would probably be better served moving more inventory at a cheaper price. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, it's so pretty
it's not
easy
that
to
you
get
gave
most
up. It's not that you gave up.
Yeah, it's basically I figure I'll get a better result if I go cheaper.
Uh-huh.
So, just because it's one thing to look at a green breastplate and say, this costs as much as 310% flying, or, you know, this costs as much as Epic Flying Training did. Mm-hmm. But it's another thing to be like, oh, that's only 600 gold. You know, that doesn't sound like that much comparatively, but once you get into the 5,000 range, it's pretty bad. Not that I didn't sell a few things for 5,000.
Mm-hmm.
But so what I did was, first off, I took all the prices and I cut them in half. Regardless of what it was, I just cut it in half. And then I was talking to someone, I think it was Sinshroud, but we were talking a little bit about mogging, and he's like, yeah, I just have one list with everything in it. And I'm like, that sounds easy. I like easy. So now I post everything at the same price, because while I understand the tier concept, because the tier concept is essentially certain items do look better than others and certain items are rarer than others, so that's why certain ones should be more expensive. However, there are a lot of players who are being thrifty will see something that's more expensive, and as much as they may want it, they may see something that's not that much worse looking, that's cheaper, and just buy that. So I figured I'll just find a nice, even price point. I mean, I'm buying these items for 5 gold apiece. It's not like posting them for 600 is a loss or anything. Mm-hmm. So, that's what I did. Now everything's up for 650 each.
So, how long have you been doing that, and how has it affected your sales, or how do you think it's affected them?
I can't say, because it hasn't been long enough. I've only been doing it for a day.
Oh, okay.
but I did, like, I, beforehand, the most sales I ever made in one day was 3. Like,
okay.
Like I said, my server doesn't have a really high demand. Mm-hmm. And I'm the only one doing it. Well, Karanta is doing this on my server too a little bit, whoever that is. Mm. But you know, there's not a really serious transmog flipper on my server yet. Mm-hmm. So it's not like someone else is getting the sales. There's just not a lot of sales going on. But within the day that I've switched to this, I've got 10 sales. So it seems to be working.
Okay.
Or that person who wanted to buy a lot of pieces just happened to come by. I can't tell which at this point.
Yeah, well, that brings up an interesting point, is that if you listen to the podcast that had Keelhaul on, and he, you know, even the interviews, he's done a couple different interviews, and basically when people ask him, well, how did you decide what prices to do? He's just like, I don't know. Like, in some of our early talking about this, he was basically like, well, I thought, well, what would I be willing to spend on this? And kind of went from there. And his prices, I would say, given what you said about his server, his prices work for him. And the volume versus like the sales thing, I would say, see, his price points are a great like starting place, I think, for a lot of people that don't really know anything about the market, because it gives people at least a starting point to do, and then if people are wanting to adjust as time goes on, like what you had said you had did. But the number one thing I noticed about people that get into transmogrification, and I've been watching like probably 10 or 20 different people on Twitter that have been doing this, is that they just don't have the patience to do it. They put up items, and like there's been people, there's like all a broad spectrum of people that have been doing transmog, and like there's the kind of people that had 6 tabs full of pyrite ore, those kind of people that basically just went out there and went hog wild on transmogging, like just buying like so much stuff, and then being like, oh man, like nothing's selling, like just, I mean, some people are very enthusiastic about it, and but I've kind of been more interested in the process of it, and I think my sales are probably around the same as yours, meaning like maybe couple, like 2 or 3 items. If 2 or 3 items in a day like sell, I'm pretty excited about it.
The great thing is like you sell one item and you've paid for all of the inventory you've already bought. So
I sent you back 2,000 gold.
Yeah, I got that. I'm like, yes, 2,000 gold.
because I sold some transmog items. So if anybody is looking for the what is it called? What's the staff I have put up there? The Draenic? No. What is the staff that I have?
Are you the one who undercut me on an Exodar life staff?
Yes.
Oh, I just undercut you before the podcast.
Let's whitelist each other and let's work together. trying to sell that for
how much did you get yours for?
I bought mine for 5,000. So
that's how much I bought mine for. I wonder if someone just has a guild bank full of.
Well, see, I borrowed 2,000 from you. This was the thing. I only had 3,000 on the character, and I'm like, man, that staff. Because that staff is on the loading screen.
See, the problem is it has a quest item that has the same model.
It's a Burning Crusade quest.
I know.
But anyway,
it's in Shadowmoon Valley. Boo.
Well, this is the thing. Like, this is why Keelhaul says don't get attached to, don't work it by the numbers. Don't get emotionally. Well, he didn't say emotionally attached, but he said like work the system. Don't use your brain. He didn't say don't use your brain. I'm saying it completely wrong. But basically, some of us get tied up in things like that staff. So, but yeah.
About prices for transmog. I think what's important is that you recognize the tiers that he set out, and you may want to modify them yourself, because when I was looking at his tiers, I disagreed with some of his items, and so for mine, I mixed some stuff around. But the important thing to understand is the tier concept. Some items theoretically should sell for more than other items based on the looks and the rarity. So even if you don't like his prices, which you might or you might not, I mean, adjust the prices, sure, adjust everything you want to make it fit you, but just basically that's the concept I think he was trying to go for, is here's my tiers, here's what I charge for them, should be a pretty good layout for you to start with.
But I would say for anybody just getting into it, don't think that his prices are a bunch of bull crap, because like they're not, like literally they're not, like this is where like your brain, using your brain in this situation might not be the right thing. Like you might not logically be able to figure out why in the heck would anybody want to get this. For one, you might think it's a green item, it's from Burning Crusade, it's a blah blah blah, you know, but once you start selling some, you'll be like, oh. Like, and I, you know, like there was a, yeah. So for me, one of the things I've been doing, and actually I'll just go ahead and talk about it right now, is I've actually started figuring out how to put things together in Auctionator shopping lists to make it easier for me to sell. I'm not going to go into many specifics right now, but I've been kind of like refiguring a little bit of his groups. Like if a maximum price was 2,500 and then there was a 3,000 price group, I'm like, maybe I'll stick those together. You know, maybe I'll stick those together. And there's like a 900 and a 1,000 group. Well, maybe I'll stick those together. Yeah. So I think I ended up getting it to like six lists ended up being grouped by price, not by class or armor class. So I'm working a system out right now, and I've already done two videos on using Auctionator to find mocking items. I'll do another one when I get this system kind of not system. I don't want to call it system, but when I get, I've been using these new kind of ways to do it. But yeah, just give yourself at least 2 weeks with Keelhaul's prices. Just turn off your brain, put it up there at his prices and see how it goes. And then I always say patience first and then adjustment. Like with mogging, it's like patience first and then adjustment. Because, I mean, people will like walk by and they'll see the item and they'll be like, oh my gosh, why is this 2,000 gold? And then they'll click on it and they'll be like, oh, that's pretty cool. And then they'll like, you know, then they'll come back and they'll be like, oh, it's still there. And then they'll come back and like, oh, it's still there. And so,
I think it's really important like you said about both prices and patience, and people might get impatient. It's like, you might have invested in like 100 pieces of inventory on your first night, but at Keelhaul's, and you might feel bad because they're all up for so much. It's like, these are never going to sell. All it's going to take is for one of those to sell. I'm posting 700 items at a time for transmog, because anyways, I'm posting 700 items at a time.
You don't have to be embarrassed about how obsessed you are about this.
I do it on 48 hours because I'm rarely undercut. Mm-hmm. So I pay like 400, 500 gold in deposit fees every time I post, but all I need is one of those items to sell, and I've made all that back then some. Yeah. So that's the great thing about the transmog is it costs so little for how much you stand to get out of it when you're patient enough to wait for your item to sell.
And there's a really kind of quirky thing about transmog that is actually pretty fantastic. And that is that because of the majority of items that we're selling are green items, which means, and this is, I think, another reason why green items tend to go really well. It's like, it's the Wraith Fin gauntlets of the bear. Right? So people will they'll get it as a drop, like TBC or whatever. They'll be like, they'll go to the auction house and they'll search for it, right? If they have, let's just say that they have add-ons like Auctionator. They'll search for it and they'll be like, oh, no one's ever put this up. Okay. Put up for 5 gold. You know?
I got lofty boots for 5 gold earlier today.
Well, that's the thing, like, because it's Wraithfin boots of the bear, there's no of the bears, it's not an exact match. So if they just search for Wraithfin boots, they might have 4 of them and they'd see, oh, this is 2,000 gold and 1,500. But because it's of the bear and of the owl and there's not an exact match in the auction house, people that aren't just searching for the parts of the names like we are with our like Auctionator shopping lists or whatever are not finding these matches, and they don't know like what price to put it up for. Like if you think about how many thousands of people go on a server every day, you know, and they're getting drops, they're freaking leveling their third person through Outlands, and they're just like, oh man, I take all the green items and put them on the auction house. So there'll always be this kind of like, hopefully there'll always be the supply.
I've been farming Oshigan crystal powder, and I've actually been getting a lot of the BC transmog gear. It's pretty sweet.
Nice. Yeah, if I didn't have my... There's so many things that I don't need to do anymore because I got my mounts. Holiday events? Psh, I don't got to do that crap anymore. Oh, PvP, Hala PvP, Oshigan crystal powder? I don't got to do that crap anymore. Netherwing dailies? I got to do that. Like, cause once it's on one character, you know, I don't ever need to do it again. So, there's so many different kind of facets to this. And as we go along, Keelhaul and I and Twitchy and Alto and Fade, you got linked in the article today as somebody who put out some lists. Maybe it was you that put out. That's what he said. You did something about it. I don't know.
For Transmog list?
Yeah.
I converted all of his lists from the Hatchery into importable lists for the new TSM release.
And that must have been up on the Consortium forums or something.
Yes, it was.
Okay. So, you know, there's all of us are working on this problem. But I think what you said bears kind of like repeating, Fade, that like every server, and this is something that we've said so many times, every server is so different. Like Keelhaul on his Twitter will try to make it sound like, I do this the same on every server and it works. That's being a little bit, but
it always works. It just may not work at the same level.
There are servers that bung people up, but if it's not working on your server and it's 2 months later and you've been kind of following things and you haven't adjusted or anything, like, you might just be on that really crazy, like, backwater server that literally doesn't have anybody, to buy these items. But the thing is, like, it's going to just get more and more, because when somebody buys the items and they make their cool outfits and they're in town and somebody clicks on them, they go, wow. And they write down the name. They go, oh my gosh, that hunter had a really cool outfit. They write down the name, go on the armory, and they say, oh, cool. And they like mouse over, or they'll inspect them right there. But if they go to the armory, they inspect them. They're like, they'll be like, oh, that's this one and that's this one. And they'll be like, oh, okay, so I'm going to start looking for that because I like that. I'm going to start looking for that. So as time goes on, these kind of outfits will become not like standard, but they'll just be purchased more and more because people will.
I can't tell you the number of people who have asked me, like whispered me and been like, where do you get that shield? And I always feel bad because it's engineer only. And I'm like, I'm sorry.
You know what? You need to tell. Do you tell them to go to Maradon?
No, I don't, because I think that one's a little bit different. It might not be.
Oh, it is different. But it's got different gear shape and everything, but Grizztek's Hypertech Buckler looks similar. Are you talking about the one that has, yours has like gears that kind of poke out a little bit and goes around?
Yeah. The one that's the molten core drop pattern.
Yeah, the one that I'm talking about looks more like a clockwork gear and it goes around. April has that on a lot of her characters. Cause
I totally had something special to say or important to say about Transmog. I forgot what it was. Give me a second. Okay, keep rambling. I mean, keep sharing important information with the listeners.
So basically, when you're just getting started, the great thing about this, the fantastic thing about this, is that you don't have to level up any professions.
Oh, I remember. Sorry.
Did you remember?
I did.
Okay. Go ahead. Oh, let me
keep. Okay. I'm going to keep my thought in my head. Go ahead.
Okay. You don't have to level up any professions. You don't need a lot of starter capital. And as long as you can do some homework, get some of these either importable lists like Fade has. I'm going to have more importable lists. There is currently importable lists on the Hatchery posts that you can put right into Auctionator. Just start learning about this market and it will serve you well. Okay, Fade.
Okay, the other thing I was going to say, it's especially useful to know for people who are having servers where it supposedly isn't working, but think about what Keelhaul's been doing, not just selling and flipping transmog gear, he's also holding these giveaway contests, and he's telling people about it in advance on the forums and such, and in trade chat, I guess. So his giving away the gold he gets from transmog creates demand for more transmog gear. Mm-hmm. Because people see that they can win gold, they go spend gold, give it to him, which he then gives back to them. And so if you really need to invigorate your transmog market, like, don't offer like all your profits, don't give away a million gold, but be like, hey, 1,000 gold every month to the best transmog outfit and such. Mm-hmm. Someone on my server actually tried to do it, but it didn't work out so well because people were trolling him pretty hard. But it's actually because of a thread on the forums and a contest that I first started making my own transmog outfits. And now that night, I spent 27,000 gold on transmog gear. So granted, a lot of them were like Cataclysm BOE epics, which were that perfect piece. But
speaking of your transmog, what's the name of the girl that I saw the picture? Oh, I guess you don't have to say it on the podcast, but with the blue pants and everything. Was that your outfit for your... It was your...
My red set?
Yeah, it must have
been
your
red set. It's all
blue? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's me.
What's the name of the legs that you have? Is it Lofty?
Those are the Templar leg plates.
Oh, Templar. Yeah, did you see the Warcraft looks post today that I did?
I didn't. I slept all day. I woke up, I went to raid, and now we're recording. I have a very exciting life.
April did our own transmog set, so if you go to Warcraft looks right now and you type it in, because I know you're on computer, you will see her... I was talking to Fade, not to you guys. You'll see her golden lioness set. That is pretty sweet. That's her set, and I think she had the Lofty.
And those are the pants.
Yeah. So, yours was pretty cool as well. That's why I wanted to. And that's on your main character, right?
Okay. Yeah, but I've only really done any transmog for Fade because I'm not willing to spend 27,000 gold on my ults. That's not true. I do it all the time.
There's been some really fun transmog ideas I've seen pop around. For those of you that don't know, I run another blog called Warcraft Looks, because I knew transmog was going to be popular. So I started a blog for it called Warcraft Looks, and you can find that at warcraftlooks.blogspot.com. And so ever since I realized that the armory has the transmog items available, thanks to Auroris from the Undermine Journal, which is the place I found it on his mogging, what does he call it? Mogging styles or the latest transmog fashion. He has like an auto-generated thing. But if you ever see somebody who you like the transmog set, write down their name and go to the armory and you can punch it. Or I still type in wowarmory.com to find it, but literally I don't want to bother typing worldofwarcraft.com blah, because Wow Armory redirects right to the right page you search for it. But once you find them on their server, you can mouse over. It'll have a little like purple like corner on the item that's transmogged, and you mouse over it, you can see what the item was transmogged from, and you can even save an image there and everything like that. But so I've been kind of collecting these looks, and that was actually why it was great to go to Keel Hall's transmog event, because I like wrote down like so many people, like I got like a page with like people front and back, probably 30 or 40 names of people that have just really awesome outfits. So I have this, where was I going with this? Jeez, I lost my train of thought. I have this site that has been, you know, finding looks. Oh, that was what it was. And there's been one from a guy called Drunkards. What is his name? Drunkards Regalia, I think is the name of his site. He had the steampunk outfit that he linked on Twitter, and I was like, oh, that's so cool, like steampunk male like outfit. So this whole like themes, like we talked about panda with the Asian theme.
Yeah, my original concept, which I'm still missing a few pieces for my prot set, is all engineering themed. So
these themes are like, you know, right now we're kind of in the beginning stages where it's like tankini, mm-hmm. like, you know, but there's going to be so many, you know, each transmog style is going to be as individual as the player that does it. And so there's going to be some really like steampunk's pretty cool. I'm sure there's like people out there, like gnomes with like anime hair that have like anime outfits, or, you know, this is a pirate and this is a sailor, and you know, I've been trying to sell sailor pants. There's like the white pants with the blue stripe down the side.
I've seen some really good pirate outfits, honestly. Like, I wish they made them in plate, because I'd really like to.
Somebody needs to come to my server and buy my pirate hat that I'm trying to sell for 22,000 gold.
Is it the first mate's hat?
Yes.
I remember getting one of those. Now they go up for like 200 gold on Argendon sometimes. Mm-hmm. I snag them, and then I just look at them and be like, what am I going to do with you, hat?
The hat, there's the hat, the first admiral's hat. Now, isn't that crafted?
At least it used to be. You used to need like hippogriff feathers, which were a pain in the ass for Alliance to farm, because they couldn't kill the ones in Hinterlands. So
I might have to see if somebody has that. So yeah, there's, you know, but the thing I've noticed about those like specialty items is, unfortunately, they don't sell, like, because I tried selling a bunch of goggles and like monocles and like that kind of stuff. There might be like a low level mogging market where like maybe you set them up at like a couple hundred gold for the one time when somebody is going to be like, oh, I want a green monocle. You talked about on the last podcast, I think you talked about how, or we were just chatting about how, yeah, there was this rare spawn that dropped some different lenses.
In Shadowmoon Valley?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a rare spawn in Shadowmoon Valley called Kaleidus the Warp Watcher. It's a beholder. It drops one of every armor type. They're different colors, but they're all little, like, almost engineering-style goggles, except it's a monocle.
Yeah.
And, like, I believe it's the plate version is the only plate monocle in the game. So, Orcish Army Knife did a post about it. I was actually going to do a post, and then I Googled it and found out he'd done a post, mm-hmm. so I just linked his post on Twitter, because he did a really good job. But yeah, so, I've got everyone but the plate one now, and I'm trying to sell them all. They haven't sold yet, but it's kind of, like, Transmog, you really just gotta be patient, because it's all about being on the auction house when that one person who really wants that item shows up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. 700 items, really? Holy crap! I'm like, yeah. I'm probably cycling through like maybe like 50 items in all. But actually, I've actually started picking up belts and wrists. I know in my videos I said, oh, don't bother with anything but the chest there. Yeah. But I've been picking it when they're too gold. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been trying to sell.
It's like, I could probably DE this.
I've been selling the wrists and the belts for like a couple hundred gold. Because my thinking is, well, somebody's like, oh, this is a set, so I'm going to pick up the chest, the arms. They might pick up the bracers, not even thinking, oh, you know, bracers. Nobody was selling the Imperial plate set today. I was so happy. I put them up for 500 gold. Suckers!
I think belts are important to sell, because you do need a matching belt, otherwise it looks ridiculous. Like, Priest Tier 6, the Tier 6 belt doesn't match at all. You have to go get a Sunwell belt. Or no, it has the Sunwell model. You have to go get a BT belt.
Mm.
And it just looks terrible.
So what you're saying is that there's a whole new market for belts, and I should go out and I should buy every single belt on the auction house and put them all up for 500 gold.
Well, I think you were talking to Gimp. I think I heard this on the podcast. Like, one of the first times I listened to a podcast that was talking about mogging, and he said something like, about how he was selling mog stuff, but he mostly was making gold off like the little things, like bracers and belts and things people might not have been collecting. Mm. You know, people keep cool shoulders and weapons, but they don't really keep bracers and belts.
That's true, especially because like your legs and your chest, a lot of times when you flip them around, you need a different belt to go with mm-hmm. it.
Especially with tankinis. Like, I was trying to find a belt that worked with my outfit. Tankinis need a specific belt.
There's
some
crazy belts out there. There's, like, belts that are just, like, one tiny little red, like, string that goes around. Like, plate belts that are just one. Mm-hmm. There's, like, a tiny little string, and then there'll be, like, a little, like, not jewel, but like a little like decoration in the front. Oh, maybe that's for people. Yeah. Maybe.
I don't know if my clients screwed up, but every time I try on the Death Knight starting belt, the green one you have when you first create the character, it's like invisible. So Death Knights don't have to wear belts now.
Ooh. Oh, speaking of Death Knights, this was so awesome. I found and I tweeted about if you're Death
Knight. Oh, yeah? What was it?
If you're Death Knight, I'm going to tell you right now.
Tell me. I'm curious.
This is awesome. This is, like, so awesome. Okay. So, if you're on a Death Knight, you might have destroyed your starter. And don't jump the gun on me, Fade, if you know this. All right? Keep a secret.
Okay.
If you're a Death Knight, you might have destroyed your starter items or to make bank space before blah, 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 blah. If you go to Arcturus.
I call it Acherus, but I'm pretty sure that's wrong.
And you go downstairs, there is, like, a big fat guy. And he is the quartermaster. He sells every single item that you can get as a Death Knight.
I did not know that. I am excited.
All of your green items, all of your blue items. Now,
I can get my blue sword back.
No. But here's the cool part. It also includes the sword and the axe that you have to choose between at the beginning. So,
I did not know any of this. I'm fascinated.
So, if you chose the sword, but you want the axe, or you chose the axe, but you want the sword, you go back, and it's so cheap. It's like 10 coppers, or like 10 silvers, because
it's not worth anything to the vendor.
Yeah. So, here's the trick, though. If you're a Death Knight, and you're just starting out, I run tank points, so I know that they add on tank points. Tells you how good of an item it is for tanking. The axe is better for tanking than the sword. So you buy the sword, or you have, like, if you got the sword as a quest reward, or whichever, you buy the opposite, and you put one rune forge for DPS on your sword, and you put one rune forge for tanking on your axe. And then when you go to tank ramparts for the 300 times you're going to have to tank it, you use the axe because it's better for tanking, and you put your rune forge for that, and you just swap it out.
But you see, then when the other three DPS Death Knights are still all in Blood Presence, you can go ahead and get pissed off and switch your presence and go back to DPS with your new weapon.
And you can, yeah, that's it. I was going to say you can have two sets, but you can't reforge them since they're so low. But you can have two weapons. And actually, there's actually, I thought there was two other swords there. I don't know why there was like two of the low-level looking swords. They're like red or something like that, like the first one you get. So anyways, go check that out if you're a Death Knight. Unfortunately, if you're a warrior or a paladin, you can't talk to the guy. He doesn't even want to sell you jack because you're not a Death Knight. So too bad, suckers, because I was like, oh, cool, I can bring my warrior up here and I can make him into a Death Knight, but you can't. So, but if you want to do Death Knight stuff, there is pieces from Wrath of Lich King that look very Death Knight-y. Like a helmet that looks like a Death Knight and stuff. You can get that kind of stuff.
Yeah, most of the blue gear you have when you come out of the Death Knight starting area actually is reused as, or it also appeared as Nax 10 uh-huh. and 25 gear. So if you want that stuff, just look at Nax Ramus.
And it's the helmet that you get to polish.
Yes.
All the time. Yes. I polished his.
Every single day.
I thrusted a shaft and polished his helmet. And that was the stupid. There's so much bad crap, stupid stuff. Seriously, every quest over there is like perverted.
I think that was kind of the point.
I know. Stupid dragon. I'm opening my jaws. I'm going to chomp you. You know how long it took me to get that right?
Yeah, once you get used to it, it's actually pretty fun. Yes. But yeah, if you're not, you're like, this is the stupidest quest they've ever invented.
I still like the one where you jump from like dragon to dragon. I want that to be a daily. You get like, shoot them with like a chain and like jump over and like fight, and then that was awesome.
So hopped on my Death Knight, I'm going to Acherus to take a look at this.
Good times. Well, let me look at my piece of paper here. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to be auctioning off my show notes. I'm going to sign them and I'm going to auction them on eBay.
Awesome.
For people, I think they'll probably get like at least like $3.
Ooh.
No.
Oh, yeah. All these greens here. They're for, like, copper and silver.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The last thing I want to talk about on this podcast is how I, living here in Arizona, was able to make poor Fade get in her car and drive and freeze her ass off for like 10 hours.
It was terrible. Actually, I only spent like 3 or 4 hours in the car. Most of it was editing videos.
You're killing me. Okay, so talk.
It was really cold.
Tell me the story, because all this happened while I was sleeping. I went to bed at like 4 o'clock in the morning, and you started angry tweeting at like 5 o'clock in the morning. So what happened? Because, tell me what happened.
Wow. Okay, what happened was, for those who haven't seen them, you should go watch them. I came out with some TSM guide videos for the new release to both introduce new players or new users to TSM, and also to help old users transition. And when I recorded them, this was one of the first times I ever recorded a video on the spot. Like, as I was doing the actions in-game, I was also talking. Usually I record after the fact and narrate over. So because of the software I use, it was very difficult for me to control the volume. So the end videos ended up being very quiet. Now, these were uploaded, like, weeks before, and I'd sent them to a few people saying, hey, is everything I said accurate? Do you like these videos? Did I do okay? And everyone said, yeah, it's fine. No one mentioned how quiet they were. And because I have like 12 different volume controls on my PC, I never know what's normal. Like, because everything sounds fine to me.
Uh-huh.
So nothing really deafens me. Nothing's too quiet. It's
we've determined that Fade could possibly be a superhero.
It's true.
Super hearing.
So then TSM comes out and I release these videos, like, and into the public, I say, go, my videos, go. And and you know, there was a lot of really good response, but a lot of people were like, these are really quiet. Like, I hate having to, well, they didn't say I hate having to turn you up, but
I said
a lot
of people, hate it, but other than me.
No, you said you hate me.
No, I said
you were like, I hate you, Fade. Making me turn up my volume.
See, but we have a history of sound in videos, so
yeah. So anyways. So then people are like, this is really quiet, I had to turn you all the way up, blah, 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 complaining. And I basically said at the time, I'm like, well, if you can turn up your volume to make it fine, then I'm okay with that, because it's going to be a lot easier for you to turn me up than it is for me to redo the videos. Because for those who don't know, my redoing a video, even just to up the audio, involves, first off, thank God I still have the raw files. And then I had to split the audio off the video, change the audio, put the audio back onto the video, re-render the video, and this was for 5 different videos, of which ended up being 1 hour and 10 minutes long total. And so that process itself took several hours. And then the worst part about making videos for me is uploading them, because my apartment internet is fine for downloading, but uploading is just terrible. So I go to the university at my school. At the university at my school, that doesn't make much sense. But I go to the university.
No, dog, we heard you like
school. Yes, exactly. So I go to the university. And so I can basically go during the day when the library's open, unless it's a Sunday like it was. Or I can go and park outside the classroom building and sit there in the middle of winter in a car uploading videos.
I drink up your milkshake!
So that's what it entails for me to fix these. So what I said was, if you can get it to the point that you can hear me, I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. Let me know if you cannot possibly, and I'll look at fixing it. But basically, I was fine with it. But then it occurred to me, basically, people kept complaining, which kind of pissed me off, but still, there was also a lot of good feedback, and no one was like, you're a terrible person. So, you know, everything was going to be okay.
Most people, including me, understood there was technical issues, but...
Yeah, what eventually actually caused me to finally take the plunge and be like, all right, I'm going to dedicate more time to fixing this, is I still want to make more videos. I have to make one for warehousing. I've had some people confused about importing the Keel Hall mog list. So I want to make a few more videos, but it occurred to me that chances are I would either have to purposefully record really quiet videos again, or I would have to, or, you know, you'd be, okay, I'm going to go watch Fade's videos. Mm-hmm. Watch this one, this one, this one. And then you'd get to the new one and you'd be like deafened by the sound change. So I'm like, well, I need to do something to fix this. So that's what eventually caused me to do it. It's just, I was still really bitter. I still actually kind of am, because I don't know if you guys, like, first off, everyone should check out the Consortium forum, because it's awesome. But the Trade Skill Master Development forum's there, and SapU, he corrected me on how I pronounced his username
he's
there.
He's a rogue!
But
he's a rogue!
Yeah, I get it now.
Yeah, I don't know.
But anyways, he... SapU, who makes TSM along with his team, he has the little forum there where if you have a problem or if you want to suggest something, it's all there. And a lot of people have been coming in and complaining about the new TSM, which, like, most of the time it's because they don't understand what they're doing and we're able to fix their problem. Mm-hmm. But I just, like, so I sit here and I watch people complaining about the awesome add-on that he took his time to put out for mm-hmm. people. And then I go and I'm like, oh, look, someone commented on my video and it's too quiet. And I'm like, oh, I hate the world. So, well, so I was bitter.
I just want to go on record as saying thank you for taking the time to fix them, because I know that redoing crap is pain in the butt, especially when you got to drive and freeze your butt off for 3 hours and it's never fun. But I... And this is the whole reason. This is my... I'm going to bring you my side of the story here. So I have my computer all set up. I only have, like, 2 sound settings. I don't have 10 to 15 of them. But...
You need to get some Turtle Beach headphones. They're amazing.
I hate headphones so much. So when I have... I had Fade's video up full blast in YouTube. Which, granted, YouTube has a lot of variation in sound. Some videos you have to, like, only put up 10% and they're still too loud. Some videos you can turn them all the way up and it's still too quiet. So I was just having a hard time because I wanted to watch your videos and I wanted to play World of Warcraft. But because I had to turn up my volume so high to hear your videos, when I play World of Warcraft, it's like... So then I have to go and I have to like push escape, click on options, click on sound, turn all the sound down so it's really quiet. So... Yeah,
If someone ever looked at the sound settings on my system, like everything's at like 2% of maximum sound. Like I have everything turned really far down because of my superpowers.
Yes. So. See, I have my volume on my PC is at 50%. Like if you click on Windows in the bottom, there's a little speaker. If you click on that and it comes up, it'll show like I'm right at 50% and my speakers are set at 50%. So that's generally how I roll. So... Anyways, again, I'm really grateful for you. You didn't have to do it, but it will make my further enjoyment of the videos. Because I watched all the videos. I watched them all, so...
You should go rewatch them. See, that's the other reason I didn't want to re-upload them, honestly, is because, as I'm sure you know, since you have a YouTube channel, I essentially lost all the views, comments, and likes, which helped me a lot because it gets me more visibility on YouTube. So even if you're listening to this, and even if you watched the videos before and you went and liked and commented, do it again, please. Yeah. So if you can double like them, it'll be awesome.
I pulled the Shawshank Redemption on your videos just so that you know.
I'm like, scared.
He's like, oh well, I shall write 2 letters every day from now on. So I made sure I upvoted your videos on both. Actually, you got more upvotes for me because of this, because actually on your old videos, I didn't plus them all. Like, I didn't 5-star them all. So this time I 5-starred them all. That's like, that's old YouTubes. On 2 accounts. So there you go. You got
excellent.
Got good stuff. So I think that's going to wrap it up. I have one last thing I want to talk about, and that's about pandas. I'm going to talk about pandas. I've been using my wacky voices in this podcast. Pandas. So we're going to learn a little bit about pandas. Which class does the panda belong to? All right. You ready for this? This is you're going to learn. It belongs to the kingdom Animalia, phylum Chordata, class Mammalia, order Carnivora, family Ursidae, which is the bear family, genus Aeupoda, Aleuropoda, and the species is A. melanoleuca. Melanoleuca.
Melanoma.
Melanoma. So pandas, because I'm looking right here, are carnivores.
I thought they only eat like bamboo and stuff.
Don't believe it. I don't know. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe that. Oh, see, we get to mine all the old content. Like pandas eat bamboo. We can like start like finding all those old videos and like the panda that like pushes over the cart in the shopping cart in the store. Oh my gosh! I'm just gonna start a panda
facts, like cat facts.
Yes, it's like. To unsubscribe, type 1346923. You are now subscribed for 1 year. Oh, man. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, Fade. It is always a pleasure to have you on the show. And why don't you let us know what's the deets, how people can get a hold of you.
Usually if you actually want to get a hold of me, YouTube's probably the best. Send me a message on YouTube or comment on a video, which you should be watching. Go watch the TSM videos. You may learn something.
Watch them in high definition because honestly, I'm still going to have to teach you how, I'm going to teach Fade how to like zoom in on videos, but like her videos, like just normal size.
I know how. I just like, it's just so much more editing time and instead I can just upload everything in high
definition. No. See this, I figured out a way to do it live. That's what's so awesome about it. But anyways, watch it in like full screen and like 720p and all that good jazz because she was so nice to upload it. And then you can see, you can pause it and read her like guild chat while she's.
Yeah. Yep. Pretty much. She's like, Fade, what are you doing? But So my YouTube is Fadetastic, FAIDTASTIC, and I assume they will be in the Powered Gold show notes.
Show nights.
In the TSM videos, I say books instead of box like 5 times. I'm going to the mailbox.
I'm out scooting a boot.
So, and then on another one, I'm like, Auctionhouse. I put an H in front of Auctionhouse randomly.
Auctionhouse. That's like, instead of people dropping the H's, you putting H's where they shouldn't be. Everything I learned about books and a boot came from Degrassi High. Canadians. Crazy Canadians.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
And my blog is nerffades.blogspot.com.
Awesome.
And my Twitter is also Fadetastic. And that's it.
Awesome. And I am Jim Youngkin from Power Word Gold. You can find us at powerwordgold.net. And we're on Twitter at powerwordgold. And facebook.com/powerwordgold. And we are on reddit.com/r/wowgold. Making. What else? Let's see. Oh. BT Dubs. This is an important announcement. If you have followed the Jim Youngkin Google Plus that has been linked for the last 4 months or so, that's caca. Poo-poo. That's caca poo-poo. That's no good anymore. So we have a Power Word Gold Google Plus.
You're so excited about this.
I know.
You're just laughing because you think people still use Google Plus.
Hey, people use Google Plus. So we have a Power Word Gold page on a brand page on Google Plus, and that's the new one linked. I've been making announcements as people have been I'm still putting out the information on both channels or both pages now, but eventually I'll just stop and we'll just go over to that one because it's just better. I use my real name now, but honestly, that Google Plus, I was originally started out with Flux Data, and then they're like, oh, we don't like you. You have to use your real name. We're going to ban you. So, yeah.
And nothing scares me more than being banned from Google services. Like, everything I have is on Google on one account. It's going to be terrible.
I got a lot of other stuff, but blah. So I'm not going to go into any of it now. There's other blogs and la 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 la. But
you guys have an ebook?
Go look for the ebook. If you find it, buy it. You have very little excuse. I've given you 4 prices, and all prices get you the same awesome ebook. Buy some Power Word Gold sweatshirts and t-shirts, but I don't think anyone's ever gonna buy those. Honestly, like, if you buy one of those, I will be not just excited, but if you send me like an action shot of, like, except for the boy shorts one, like, I don't want an action shot because I'm gonna get like Alto being like, yo, Alto's like obsessed with the boy shorts. He's like, oh, there's no BlizzCon, what? I was gonna wear my Power Gold panties. So I think he's gonna like, I'm going to be like, oh, awesome, I made a sale. And then it'll be like Alto, and I'll be like, he'll send me an action shot, and I'll be like, what? And then I'll post it on the internet.
Except they won't be the boy shorts, they will be the panties.
Well, there is only the boy shorts, unfortunately. There's no.
I was hoping there was a Powered Gold thong. She can't.
I can make that. It takes me like 2 seconds. So if there's a huge demand for a Powered Gold thong, let me know, because I'm almost positive Cafe Press has a way to do that. Actually, I need to just eventually. I think Chris Hanel from Daily Blink was talking about he used Spreadshirt, so I might try checking out Spreadshirt to see, because like Cafe Press. That's pretty ghetto right there. Mm-hmm. Bro, I've never even bought anything from Cafe Press. Oh, I mean, yeah, Cafe Press is awesome. Buy my stuff. But I've been looking at, you know, yeah. So now I'm just rambling. I think that's going to do it. I hope you have enjoyed the show. We we're gonna be done. Fate has fished up enough stuff through.
Yeah, I still haven't got my sea turtle. I've been multitasking while we podcast, trying to get a sea turtle. Still none.
Hold on, it's coming. Multicasting. Dun, dun,
it's true. I get it. I see what you did there.
Yo, Doc. We heard you like casting, so you put your casting in your casting, so you can casting while you cast. All right. Well, thanks a lot, everybody, for listening. We will see you next time.
See ya.
Music for this episode of the Powered Gold Podcast includes the songs Hail to the TV Screen, As I Fall Bleeding Off, and Witness of the Apocalypse by the band One Last Word from the album Thrones. To find more from One Last Word, head to onelastword.bandcamp.com. All songs were used under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. For more information about Creative Commons licensing, head to creativecommons.org.